92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up.
So this chart presents the crux of the problem. And I think it's critically important that everybody understands how we got to where we are today with this gap in affordability. On the bottom, you'll see wages in Escambia County over the last 25 years. And those wages have doubled. Doubled. That sounds pretty good until you look at the top line, and that's housing cost. The average home in Escambia County has quadrupled in that same period of time. So the gap between those two lines, which is ever increasing, is the crux of the problem that we're facing today. And frankly, there's not a whole lot in place right now that is gonna change those trend lines.
This is Sam Hunt. He's the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, and he was given a presentation to the Escambia County Commission about the land trust, which is it's kind of an interesting idea, basically, that this trust, you know, a trust can be for any purpose whatsoever, but this would be a trust specifically for the purpose of preserving the affordability of a total property. The trust would own the land on which your house sits and then have an interest share in the value of the house itself. And then the private individual who owns the house, the, you know, person who qualifies, basically, would have a share of the ownership of the house, and then they can buy a house like this, sell a house like this, and make some of the profit, but not all of the profit on when the value of the home appreciates. In an effort to keep some stock, however many homes the trust can be a part of, from being out of reach for ordinary people, primarily by owning the land, but not entirely by owning the land. It's kind of a joint venture, so to speak, of two aspects of this.
So what is a community land trust? Simply, it is a vehicle that separates the ownership of the land from the house itself. And most importantly, it simultaneously reduces the cost of the home ownership and creates, for the first time, a permanent stock of affordable housing.
So instead of having, like, government own or build the housing, you know, you think of like Section 8 housing or housing projects or, you know, what public HUD housing, whatever you want to think of it as. This is not that. This is this entity, this community land trust, that kind of holds the land, but it is individuals who own the property on the land. And, you know, one of the problems with having government housing, for instance, is that we know that people don't take care of the things they don't own. If you're a renter, you always preserve the value of that property less effectively than if you own the property yourself. Why? Because there's no incentive to you to preserve the property value. I mean, you know, it's really rare to find renters who are great tenants. Most renters are kind of okay tenants at best, and they don't, you know, they don't care about the property because it does not belong to them. Well, one of the values of having home ownership in the land trust properties is that the people who own them actually own them and care about them and benefit from taking care of them. And so you bring that to bear as well on the long-term sustainability of basically this project for having high, you know, quality housing at an affordable rate.
I was with Amir from Parsco Developers yesterday, and we were talking because right now we have a partnership with the city and the Home Builders Association. We have three homes that are being built on land trust property inside the city limits. And we were talking about a project that he did with the city several years ago down in the Garden District, where a number of homes were built for low income, meant to be affordable forever. However, those homes that someone were able to buy for less than $200,000, I believe they were $180,000 purchases, they are now flipping just 5-6 years later for well over $400,000. So homes that were built to be affordable, to be long-term affordable, only are affordable to that first-time home buyer. Then the market takes over, and we lose that that home to the market.
So it's very good for the first person you install in that home, but all the benefit accrues to that person. And then after they sell the home, it's just regular stock back on the market. And that doesn't really help solve the problem long term the way the land trust at least intends to.
The CLT holds title to the land, sells the home on the land, and administers the 99-year ground lease. What it really is, and I'm going to show you this in better detail, but it's an alternative to renting. This is not an alternative to someone who has the capacity and the resources to buy a fee simple home where they own the home and the land, and they enjoy all the appreciation, all the wealth creation involved in that model. These are for folks who can't make that jump from rental to affordable home ownership. So the land trust fills the gap.
So it's not for the people who can and then step down. It's for the people who really can't and helping them step up. And by the way, that earlier clip I played where he was talking about this chart showing the graph of median household income versus median home price, okay? This chart goes all the way back to 2000. And if you look at the median household income was $34,000 in Escambia County in 2000. Median household income in 2023 was $70,000, which is great. That's doubled. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's in 22 years. That's not so great, but, you know, it is double. But if you look at the same exact chart for the home value, it started in 2000 at $82,000. And it went up to $130,000 bubble time, like 2008, 2006, that kind of vicinity. Came back down to where it had been, right under $100,000 in 2013, and then it shoots up to $273,000 now, which is three and a half times what it had been 20 years ago. So if the average income doubles, but the average house quadruples or triples and a half, there's no good word for that, by the way, then there's a gap. There's a massive gap of affordability, which is what the Community Land Trust is designed to solve.
And it gives folks the opportunity and all the advantages of home ownership that they would otherwise never be able to enjoy. The stability, the health and education benefits, and then passing on the wealth creation of home ownership to the next generation.
Now, one of the things that's a little bit complicated about the trust is it's not just, you know, they own the land and you own the building. It's more complicated than that. And it's complicated in a good way, because what it's designed to do is, I kind of mentioned this before, is give you a share of the increase of value, but not all of the increase in value. And basically, it's meant to give you the share of the increase in value that is proportional to the share of the actual cost of the home that you put in money for. And the remainder is going to stay within the trust and serve as a dampener on the cost of the home, so that essentially the home is paid off, if you might want to think of it that way, by the trust, sort of. And all you have to do is buy the market increase, but only the share of the market increase that went to the prior homeowner. So everybody gets to take a little bit, actually a substantial amount, of value out when they resell it, assuming the market keeps going up. It doesn't always, but assuming that it generally does. And you don't have to pay the full tilt of the whole market, which you would if you were just, you know, buying a home that had been, say, you know, built by Habitat and then turned over to people, and then somebody comes along and buys it later.
So let's take a home that we have built, we closed on today. That home appraises at 220. Many of these homes are appraising significantly greater than $220,000. However, we're going to sell that house for $180,000. Why? Because of that $220,000, $40,000 of that value is attributed to the underlying land. So we're going to immediately subtract the land value, and the sale price is $180,000.
Okay, so that part's real easy, right? Community Land Trust owns the land, $40,000 in value. The house is priced market rate, $220,000. $180,000 is the price of the house. That part's easy to understand. It's the other part that's just a little bit complicated.
We're going to reduce that even further. Because of our partnership with the county and other municipalities, we're able to apply SHIP down payment assistance to this home. So that reduces the number by another $25,000, and now we're at $155,000. That's what the individual is going to pay for this home. How many homes are out there that someone can buy, brand new, three-bedroom, built at the qualities that Habitat builds for $155,000? It's impossible. It doesn't happen. It does with a land trust.
Right. There's no such home on the market. Right? And then, and I'm gonna play this because I think it's very interesting. It's a little bit long, but for those of you who are interested in how the actual share of the value is kept by the homeowner, and then partially by the trust and partially by the next homeowner, he actually goes through the details. Now, if this makes your eyes glaze over or your ears glaze over, I'm sorry, but I want you to understand it because, you know, for those who do, it's a very fascinating program.
$155,000 divided by $220,000 is a 71% ratio. That is their ownership interest in this property, 70, just for the formula purposes. And you're going to see where that comes into play. So they're in the home. They're living happily. They've had some career progression. They've had some wage progression. And now they're in a position with the savings that they have as a result of their land trust home and their increased income that they want to move into a different neighborhood, maybe into a bigger home, into a fee simple home. They want to sell. So we do an appraisal. That appraisal indicates that the home is now valued at $400,000. So let's find the difference between that appraisal and the initial appraisal. It's $180,000 of appreciation in that period of time. Well, the portion of appreciation to be shared, remember they have a 71% interest. We take that $180,000, multiply it by 71%, there's $127,000 of appreciation to be shared. They have a 25% shared equity. That's how much they have earned in the period of time. That the amount that they earn increases over time. So we're going to take $127,000, multiply it by 25%. $32,000 is how much appreciation they get to extract out of this purchase. Now, that is in addition to whatever principal payments they have made over that same period of time.
So principal they get total, and then 25% of the 71%, which was the purchase price share of the retail value of the home, the remainder being the land and what the county and shit put in, and they get to take that out. They get to extract that $31,000. So then it pays off for them. They've gotten value. When you move out of a rental, nothing. When you move out of a, you are the first owner and it's somebody else owns it, then you get the full amount, but that makes the second person unable to afford it. Only going up in $31,000 worth of price is, I mean, that's an amazing limiter on the purchase price for the next person.
Now, here's the beauty of the land trust. A home that is now valued at $400,000 is no longer affordable to the young teachers, to the healthcare workers, to the service workers that this program was intended to serve. We've lost that home for those individuals, except this home is going to sell for $186,000. How do we get that?
Get that one, that 155 plus the 31 that the homeowner kept. The next person buys it for 186, a home that's worth $400,000. I mean, it's an amazing process, again, assuming that it works, and there's no reason to think that it won't.
We take the resale, the $155,000, the initial purchase price, and add the equity that was extracted by the home buyer, the $32,000. $186,000 is the new purchase price. This is in 10 years for a home that is valued at $400,000.
It's crazy. I mean, a great system for keeping homes at an inexpensive amount affordable for people who otherwise cannot possibly get into a real home.
We can qualify somebody making as little as $35,000 for a land trust brand new home.
Wow.
In Escambia County, the minimum is $40,000 plus. Mm. So there is no other program out there where somebody making $35,000 or $40,000 can purchase a new home. Mm.
So sounds like there's no shortage of applicants.
No shortage of applicants. Yeah. It's just a function of resources. You know, okay. The more resources we can garner and attract into this program, the more people we're going to be able to serve.
So this helps with affordability, obviously. It also helps with another problem. It's kind of a bogeyman word that you hear a lot, gentrification, which is that when people of an income that can barely qualify to own a home move into an area, then the property values start going up and up. They have trouble affording the property tax, and the people all around them are, you know, more and more affluent, and they, which creates a kind of a cycle. It's a bad thing. And then they actually wind up needing to move out of the home because they cannot afford to stay in that home. This almost solves for that, or at least it helps solve for that, because it keeps certain homes from having that constant increase in cost or price. And so that tends to keep a mixture of economic levels in the neighborhoods also. So just there's all kinds of dimensions to this. And like I said, Sam Hunt, the Habitat CEO, is the one who was presenting on this at the county commission meeting. Very interesting. It's already in place. It's already active. It's just a question of over time how many homes, how many properties are going to move into this land trust, and you know how much use of this we can make, because it is a it's a fascinating process. And I wanted to share it with you. I know it's a little bit complicated, but you're smart enough to get it. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, my house is hotter than an outhouse in July.
Our licensed AC techs can help.
Ooh, I mean, it's sweatier in here than the sauna at a sumo wrestling camp.
Say no more, sir. With your knack for detail, really, say no more. More than 10 years, thousands of positive reviews. Nobody cares like We Care. So trust your home to the know and schedule your AC repairs online at wecareheatedair.com.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
Yeah, for me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Nothing quite like playing French swear words on the Radio 527. That's Napoleon swearing in Bill and Ted's. Mayor. I don't know, made me laugh. 527 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Good news out of Washington, D.C. President Trump.
Oh, you get to say that a lot.
President Trump is declaring it a crime-free zone. He's urging other Democrat-led cities to join his crime-fighting efforts. And on Truth Social Monday, he praised D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser for working with him to reduce crime there. Congress returns from their August recess, facing a looming government shutdown as September 30th approaches. The spending battle will dominate the agenda, with Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer under pressure after his previous bipartisan vote to avoid a shutdown. Republicans will need Democrat support to pass another temporary funding bill. And the Taliban asking for international aid after the deadly magnitude 6.0 earthquake, which killed at least 800 people, left more than 2,800 in Afghanistan, near the Pakistan border in Afghanistan. Aid to Afghanistan has declined since the Taliban took control in 2021.
Yeah, pretty awful thing that we saw there. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody that you all would recognize his face, you may not recognize his name, Graham Greene. passed away. He he was in Dances with Wolves. He was in The Green Mile. He was in Maverick as their, like, fake Indian opponent, you know, in Maverick. And 180 other movies. Did I say 100 other? 180 other movies. So you would 100% recognize him visually, but, you know, trying to tell you who he was if you don't know. It's, I know it's a little bit hard to say, but man, you know, somebody who, I always think of the character actors are really the backbone of Hollywood movies. You know, we tend to think of the stars as being the keys. I don't know, man. There's some of these people that have been in 150, 200, 300 movies, and they are sort of the rotating stock of the vital second tier characters. And without them, I mean, you couldn't do movies because there's nobody capable. And they are, some of them are, you know, they're the most amazing actors, but they just, you know, for whatever reason, they never became stars, or they never had the opportunity, or maybe they didn't, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to, but, you know, they can, yeah, think of 180 movies. 180, that's amazing. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got another game to which you can win tickets. We want you to tap the app. So if you open up your News Radio Pensacola app, and if you don't have it, download it on your phone. It's a great way to listen to me in the morning or the afternoon show, or to listen to the podcast. But on the app, it'll have the chance for you to enter into the contest to win FSU home game tickets this week. East Texas A&M. Just enter, and there'll be tickets given away typically in the afternoon show on Pensacola right now. So be listening, and you'll be winning from having the app on your phone.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A bloody Labor Day weekend in Chicago. According to reports, at least 54 people shot, 7 died. Mayor Brandon Johnson vowing to prevent federal help.
No troops in Chicago! No troops in Chicago!
President Trump touting the job, the fighting crime they're doing in D.C.
The president is making comparisons with D.C., saying, wow, Mayor Muriel Bowser of D.C. has become very popular because she worked with me and my great people in bringing crime down to virtually nothing in D.C. Her statements and actions were positive, instead of others like Pritzker, Wes Moore, Newsom, and the 5% approval-rated mayor of Chicago.
Fox's Mel Rivera, no winner. Monday night's Powerball jackpot means Wednesday is now worth $1.3 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got partly cloudy skies here. Beautiful start to our morning. 65 degrees in Pensacola and Milton, 70 being reported in Gulf Breeze right now. Well, some Escambia County homeowners could be poised to sell their homes due to persistent flooding in the Myrtle Grove area. Thursday, county commissioners will vote on a $2 million project to purchase and demolish 7 flood-prone houses. They're primarily on Silverado Court. Some of the residents are considering that buyout due to safety concerns. Others, though, just have been weary of its impact on property values. Now, if the plan is approved, the county would allocate $500,000. FEMA would cover the remaining $1.5 million, and demolition could begin as early as next week. Some experts say it's a measure that should have been taken years ago. The county's also identified 42 additional homes that could be targeted for future buyouts across the region. Now, Planet Fitness is set to open their new 9 Mile Road location tomorrow. The new gym will be at 312 East 9 Mile Road. They're relocating from their old site at 235 East 9 Mile. The new 19,000-square-foot facility will feature upgraded amenities, including, of course, new restrooms, showers, a black card spa, recovery-focused equipment like cryotherapy and massage chairs. New grand opening ceremonies planned for September 15th, and all the staff from the old location will return at the new gym. The gym relocated to make room for a new Costco that's going in at their old location. Grocery shopping in Alabama is a little bit cheaper now. It's due to the reduction of the state's sales and use tax on food that dropped from 3% to 2% yesterday. It follows a similar decrease last year. The tax cut was signed into law by Governor Kay Ivey. It's projected to save Alabamians about $121 million. An FSU linebacker in critical condition after being shot on Sunday. Freshman Ethan Pritchard was shot in Havana while visiting family members Head coach Mike Norvell says the team's thoughts and prayers are with him.
I got a chance to be there, you know, last night with him and his dad and family, and grateful, you know, for all the support and medical, support that he was able to receive.
Norvell had a news conference Monday. Pritchard is currently in critical but stable condition. FDLE is investigating that shooting. Well, a child's hurt after being bit by a shark in Monroe County. The sheriff's office there says the 8-year-old boy was bit on the leg while snorkeling off of Key Largo. A dive company helped him get to the marina where he was airlifted to a hospital in Miami for surgery. Right now, there's no word on his condition. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our temperatures. Absolutely gorgeous morning. Partly cloudy skies. 65 degrees in Pensacola. 65 degrees in Milton. And Gulf breeze coming in just a few degrees warmer at 70 right now. Our next news is at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
This is Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A federal appeals court has ruled that most of President Trump's global tariffs are illegal. The Court of Appeals determined in a 7-4 ruling that only Congress has the authority to apply sweeping levies. Trump called the decision highly partisan and has said that he will appeal the ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court. President Trump has called on pharmaceutical companies to justify the success of their COVID drugs days after the FDA set new limits on who can receive vaccines for the virus. Trump last week fired Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Susan Menares after she refused to resign. The leadership upheaval at the CDC follows a series of measures by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to overhaul federal health agencies and change immunization policies. Alibaba's shares surged more than 19% this morning as the Chinese tech giant's cloud computing unit drove strong quarterly results while details emerged over its new AI chip development. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Yeah.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, as is always or typically the case on a Monday, we had a chance to talk with Jimmy Petronis, who is, of course, former CFO for the state of Florida, now our congressional representative in Congress for the 1st District of Northwest Florida, and also found out a little interesting thing about him and one of his first jobs I did not know about before. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And by the way, I learned something chatting with you off the air that I did not know. Tell the people your surprise occupation that was between college and being a restaurateur.
Yeah, I was on drive time radio for almost half a year. The co-host of 92.5 had taken a promotion and a job, and the host of the show said, "Hey, why don't you come do radio with me in the morning?" I'm thinking, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." So yeah, every morning for me was getting up at 5, and so we were on from 5 to 10 back in 2005.
It was a blast. I didn't know that at all. That's great. I just, you know, I learn things about a congressman all the time. You've filed a couple of bills. One of them is you and I had talked about this before, but you've actually now filed the bill. It's HR. House Resolution 5029 about the Blue Angels. The primary purpose of this is to try to ensure that the Blue Angels stay always in Pensacola, right? The Blue Angels Act, it's called.
Correct. So what we had done last time, there was a vehicle, a bill that was moving. We slapped an amendment on it that did a lot of this. Now what we've done is we've put in actually a more robust freestanding bill. And I told the guys, I said, go look at everything that exists around the Blue Angels as they exist in Pensacola today. And I said, let's take that and put it as a bit of protection into statute. So this is exactly what we're doing. Just to ensure that, you know, that Pensacola is always their home. And like I said, just go out of our way to, you know, when that's the thing that happens, when they're in our home, we're creating some notoriety for it. But at the same time, also when I'm looking at making an investment, you know, those members of Congress, you know, it's just another way to educate them that the Blue Angels have been here. You got to remind these guys all the time.
You know, there was one line in this bill that caught my attention, only because of like the practicality aspect. It's line 3 under section B. It says, or maybe it's just 3. It's 3 all in time. Anyway, it says, the Secretary of the Navy may not reduce the number of aircraft or personnel assigned to the squadron specified in paragraph 1 below the number assigned to such squadron as of July 31st, 2025. And the only reason that caught my attention is I thought, well, you know, sometimes somebody leaves or somebody, you know, gets transferred out for whatever reason and they have to replace them. Would there ever, or an aircraft becomes unusable and has to be transferred into, you know, surplusage down to Arizona or something. Is there any concern that maybe that specific language, because I get what you're trying to do is preserve it, not let them sort of shrink it into obsolescence. But is there, you know, go to 4 instead of 6 pilots or whatever. But is there any concern that might be too restrictive, that language, because they wouldn't be able to change personnel or delete aircraft that need to be?
This is the perfect example of why the process is what it is and why you should be a member of Congress. because you'll see there's things that bills get filed and they say, hey, you know, there's an unintended consequence in your language. But thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly look the guys in the office are the ones who drafted the bill.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of times you have to get a second set of eyes to go review these things. They pop out. So that is a – that's actually a pretty great point you make. And, you know, we'll just go and revisit, make sure that we're not tying our hands in a way that's going to have an unintended consequence of not even being able to perform.
Man, I love that attitude. I really do. I love that attitude.
I mean, no bill's perfect.
Right.
You know, look, humans are fallible. You know, I told my guys I wanted this. And so they go and they work through the night and over a couple of days, and this is what they produce. And, you know, and I trust them. They're smart guys, you know, but there you go. Just a little smarter.
You have I just caught one thing. That's not the same thing, but the kind words. You have a couple of other bills, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about all of them because I definitely want to get to this the shooting that took place in Minneapolis. But you've got a bill to facilitate veterans licensing. I love that. When, you know, whatever their duties were in the military, that when they get out, it'd be easy for them to, you know, transition into a civilian license of some sort. You've got a bill dealing with the electric vehicle mandate in the military, Good Lord. Yep. And you've got another it's an amendment to the NDAA that has to do with getting rid of woke AI. Take your pick. Is any one of these you want to focus on for a second?
Well, the EV mandate, that to me, that is just something that has no business being in the requirement of doing business on our installations. We saw a lot of challenges with EVs, and why should I be dumping a very expensive vehicle into our military use if it has not been fully battle tested? So I don't want our military to be the testing ground for a device that ultimately, when it comes under harm's way in a war, if it takes a bullet, it turns into a thermal runaway. Mm. So, I mean, these are just some things I think kind of fall in the line of safety. But the Veteran Spouse Licensing Act, these guys, once they get done serving and they've got a skill set, they shouldn't have to be forced to go sit down through boards and training to go through certification if they've been serving our men and women all over the world doing that same job, whether you're a dentist or, you know, any of these other procedures or skills that they may have serving the military. They should be able to come and take root right here in Florida, I hope in Florida, and continue their practice. And then the woke AI, look, it's just doing exactly that. I remember I asked Meta to explain to me the big, beautiful bill, and Meta told me, says it was an initiative by President Trump that put 1.4 million people off of Medicaid. It invested billions of dollars into border control, and it relocates the space shuttle. That's what it told me the bill did. So, I mean, this is a perfect example. I got the recording. I'll share it with you. But that's exactly what it told me the big, beautiful bill was. So, I mean, come on, guys. Meta, you can do better. So you can do better.
So the key takeaways were border, Medicare, and removing the shuttle from Udvar-Hazy to Texas. Oh, my God. That's just what a bizarre thing. Go ahead.
I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you the audio file.
Okay, that's great. Jimmy, we all saw this shooting in Minneapolis, and I don't know exactly what it is that makes one incident more or less sort of horrific and captivating to people, but obviously anything involving kids in a church, you know, this person maybe was transgender, you know, all of that stuff, but a lot of that sort of seems like, you know, his mom worked with all, a lot of that seems to me to be maybe not the real point, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about, you know, what you're seeing and what your kind of thoughts are on this incident. Cause you and I talked a little bit about the, and you have some interesting things to say. Go ahead.
This is a big deal to me as I look at how social media and technology, they've just taken over our kids. I hope Cash Patel releases all of the apps and the data of what this kid was using to poison himself. Mm. You know, we don't have to, you know, we all, some of us have seen the Terminator movie. You see how Skynet, you know, has, you know, become smart and it creates all these robots. Hell, we don't have to worry about the robots. I mean, social media and AI is programming our kids. So, I mean, where you're under the age of 18, these devices are just totally unrestricted, and we have got to have some support from the social media companies, from the device manufacturers. And if they don't, then we're going to have to bring out legislation, and that's not what we should do. I remember watching Instagram was running an ad a few months ago, and it says, tell Congress to support this XYZ Act that, you know, puts, you know, an age limit on Instagram. And I'm thinking, guys, why do you need Congress to do it? You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. But this was an ad paid for. That's one of these feel good baloney type posts that they made in order to look like they're trying to do their part. But it's horrible. I mean, I have to pry these things out of my kids' hands, you know? So, I mean, it's dangerous what they're doing and how they're influencing our kids. I mean, these things they're digital fentanyl.
Yeah. You know, I talk with our law enforcement all the time, and we talk about how, you know, your kids should not have social media. And, you know, it's so dangerous. And, you know, that's one slice of it. It's the games, which, you know, we grew up on games. Okay, there's an element of what's new is going to always be scary to adults. I get that. It's the videos. It's the who's providing the information. there's all kinds of things. You know, we go through all this trouble of, you know, trying to provide kids good instructional material for their education and good parenting and good socialization and good experiences. And then we turn right around and anybody who can create an app or anybody who can post a video or make a picture on whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or some, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of other things out there, right? You're right. We turn over control to them. And it's not, what I always try to tell people is that, you know, the mistake everybody made about television was they thought that TV was all about what's on the TV. There are two parts to TV, what's on the TV and the TV. And the TV is part of the concern. Mm-hmm. And here it's even worse because it's not just what's on the phone, because what's on the phone is horrible, but it's the phone itself that is specifically gamed to addict your kids and profiteer off of them and colonize them like they're a continent or something. And I couldn't agree with you more. And so looking at what radicalized or what allowed this person to become radicalized, whether it's the algorithms that kept feeding him the same disgusting information in a higher and higher dosage all the time, isolating himself with other like-minded crazy people online, which we know happened. I mean, just all of that. I agree with you. So is it, do you think there's is there any hope that the drug dealers are going to stop dealing the drugs?
Yeah, look, I mean, unfortunately, you may have to step in with legislation. And look, when they're an adult, they're an adult. I mean, you know, good luck with that going forward. But you know, I remember when I took my kid to go see the Lone Ranger movie, the one that came out a few years ago. And he was six when he took it. I thought, oh, that's PG-13, big deal. And I tell you, I remember the shoot-em-up scenes that took place and just seeing his body flinch. And this was not natural for a child of that age to see. They're not able to process this stuff. And now you're giving them advice with unfettered access to any of this garbage. You know, so, and I mean, it takes the kids away from family and it takes them away from church. And now these things become their new study guide. So, I mean, yeah, I remember Dad used to turn off the TV in my room while I went to bed at night. You know, this is far worse than any TV.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when you talk about taking them away from friends and family and church and, you know, real life activities, and, you know, one of the things I think is, like, if you have a variety of sources of meaning in your life, a variety of sources of connection and stability in your life, if one of them goes sour, you've got the others to draw on. But by sort of isolating kids into this digital reality and getting them, as you say, away from a lot of the real life stuff, then all of a sudden, if things go wrong online, like they get bullied or they, you know, people are mean to them or they feel like they're getting attacked or whatever, it's a kind of idolatry. It's like everything is wrapped up in their identity online, and then there's nothing else to balance it if that goes sour. We cannot allow this to keep happening. I was reading a very interesting couple of articles about the Minneapolis murderer that talked about nihilism. You know, the belief that nothing matters, that there's no truth in the world, and that, you know, there's some really horrific connections with some online communities that he apparently was involved in. But kids need meaning. Adults need meaning. And if they don't have meaning, then they will, I mean, anything goes, right? They need to be given values, right?
100%. I mean, these devices are becoming their friends.
Yeah.
It's becoming their influence. It's becoming their counselors. And this is why, you know, over the age 18, you know, like I said, you're an adult, but below is where they're getting indoctrinated because they're so influential, they're insecure, and they're still trying to find their way. And you know, it takes parental involvement, but you know, it's hard. I mean, raising a family is a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. But you know, these devices out here are definitely as much as, man, you know, just watch your device and, you know, I'm going to, you know, continue to work. Unfortunately, it leads to some bad outcomes. I mean, we've got to have some cooperation from big tech, and we've got to quit trying to monetize our kids.
So I'm gonna disagree with you, but I'm gonna disagree with you in the direction you want to go. You ready?
Yeah, you're good at this.
Well, no, because you made me think about something. Is, look, we don't allow kids to smoke. You know, to use nicotine products. We don't allow kids to use alcohol. We don't allow kids, you know, to use, even where it's legal, marijuana products, right? But some things, when they're an adult, we let them drink, okay? In some places, you let them smoke, and, you know, smoke, but in some places, you let them, you know, get high. But even when they're adults, you do not let them, you know, buy cocaine, buy heroin. You don't let them use fentanyl. There's lots of methamphetamines. And so I think it's a fair question to ask, is the phone, is social media, and especially in its current and even, God, terrifying future configuration, is it more like alcohol that just needs to, you need to wait till you're 21, or is it more like fentanyl and meth and we need to just not have it? And I think that's a fair question to ask about these things.
I'm more of a feeling of the latter. I'd rather not even have it. But, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think you're going to get the genie out of the bottle. I don't think you're going to get rid of it. But I know this. I know those devices, and I know social media, you know, it's made by humans. And humans have the ability to put filtration, guardrails, all that in place. But I put too many guardrails, and it's not as sticky. It's not as sensational. It's not as impactful. It's not, you know, so, I mean, you know, this delicate balance. You know, after the shooting took place in, it was interesting, after the shooting took place in Minneapolis, you know, I went to go Google it about the characteristics of the shooter. And Google, this is the first time I've ever seen this, but it's the first time I ever searched it either, because I actually had the word suicide in the search box.
Yeah.
And Google came with a whole bunch of alerts, which, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, but it still allowed me to go find what I was looking for regarding this Minneapolis shooter. You know, I mean, it's troubling. And these guys, I'm sorry, they're responsible. And so, look, if it takes a member of Congress filing legislation to get your attention, sometimes that's exactly what we have to do.
And I love your adjective used there. They're sticky. They are super, super sticky, these things. Jimmy Petronis is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, thanks for the time on Labor Day. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week. Very interesting stuff. I really, really appreciate the time.
All right. Take care.
Absolutely. And by the way, he sent me the recording of him asking Google about the Big Beautiful Bill to prove how crazy AI can be. Here you go.
Hey, Meta, tell me what about the legislation, the Big Beautiful Bill.
Sorry, Meta, not Google.
The One Big Beautiful Bill Act is a U.S. law signed on July 4th, 2025, that reshapes the federal budget, cuts Medicaid for 1.7 million people, boosts ICE funding, and allocates $85 million to relocate the space shuttle Discovery to Texas.
Yep, those are the three top takeaways. Absolutely, you've perfectly summarized it. I'm Andrew McKay.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's The Lads, led by Dickie Williams, a British Invasion tribute band featuring only British bands from 1963 to 1969. Come dance and sing to the sounds of the Beatles with The Lads at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
What are you? I'm a mouse. Duh.
Oh my God, I love that movie. Mean Girls is so funny. What are you? I'm a mouse, duh. And then that music, I know it's not like, you know, top 40, but that's from the scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where the car isn't there, the rental car isn't there. If you remember this. Oh, my God. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump set to make an announcement today from the Oval Office. The White House not saying what this is about, but it's on the schedule for 1 o'clock this afternoon. Late Tennessee Sheriff Buford Pusser, who inspired the movie Walking Tall, is now being posthumously suspected of murdering his wife and covering it up. Authorities now believe that he shot his wife in 1967 and staged an ambush, which would contradict his original account. Of course, he died of in a car crash in 1974. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, we got an update on him. He's out of the hospital now and apparently walking as well after that car crash. It did leave him, though, with a fractured vertebrae and some injuries to his arm and leg and, of course, the typical cuts and everything from an accident. But the 81-year-old is now recovering, and President Trump has announced some plans to award him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 559, News Radio 92.3. 1.2 million immigrants are now gone under President Trump, some voluntarily, some self-deported, some, you know, forcibly expelled. That is starting to have labor effects. I talked to you before about the tomatoes. We're seeing cantaloupes, watermelon, other crops where, you know, look, cheap labor force was available. Cheap labor force is no longer available. In my non-professional economist opinion, that's a hard way to keep inflation down.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.